Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Moment with Self. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Sadiq, a clinical psychologist and a licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm also the founder of Wheel of Wellbeing, which is a scientific sanctuary for healing of mind, body, and spirit. My purpose for having this internet radio program is to bring attention to those of you who is looking for the true meaning of self and wants to pay attention to how this self is going to be able to raise relational, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, educational, environmental, and professional awareness in all aspects of the life. The subject of prevention and healing are the main subjects that we usually talk about in this program, and they are pretty much instinctual. Every person naturally wants to prevent from danger, from diseases, from sickness, from hardships, and also healing is a natural way of getting over all the illnesses and problems. However, sometimes we are so disturbed by the life challenges that the natural flow of things in us stops, or we do not simply have the time to pay attention to it or ignore it. In the years of my practice and gathering information about these different approaches of well-being, I have learned that without a continuous attention to balance and without removing blockages from our path, it's very difficult to live a happy and successful life. So it's my attempt to open up new subjects each week and discuss them because they are repeatedly brought to my attention by my clients and my colleagues. One of the topics that's very often in my room, in my therapy room, is the subject of motherhood and parenting. And as we're getting close to Mother's Day in a couple of days, I thought this would be a good subject for tonight to discuss. So I dedicate this program as a gift to all of you who are seeking a healthy relationship with a mother or with your mother, or if you are a mother with your children, or if you are a father with the mother of your children. The subject of mothering is really what we talk about, because there is a distinct difference between a mother and the role of a mother. So I guess the most essential question that can help us to better understand a mother-child relationship is to ask ourselves, who is a mother? Is it that any woman that can bear a child called mother enough? Or does the word mother deserve a higher status or a separate meaning than just the physical attribute of a mother? To be able to answer these questions, I have invited one of my very dear friends and colleagues, Parisa Amir Mustafian, who is a clinical fellow at Loyola Marymount University. She is currently practicing at the Center of Wheel of Wellbeing as an MFT intern, and also she's an art therapist. She does amazing work with children and their mothers. She holds her master's in medicine, and she is educated in color light therapy, magnet therapy, and vibration healing. She has over 30 years of experience in arts, and also she has practiced as a midwife. She has worked in three different continents. She's worked in Australia, in Iran, and in the United States. And her distinct researches continues to today. She has done research in abnormalities of sperms, investigating hormonal correlations in breast cancer. She has also practiced as a life coach, and she's a mother herself. Parisa brings a great understanding to this program, and I would like to welcome her to tonight's program of What Mothers Want. Hello, Parisa. Hello, Parisa. Do you hear us, Parisa?
Hi, Daniel.
Hi,
yes,
how are you? Welcome.
Me?
Well,
I'm fine.
Hear you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we're glad that you're here, and with the information that hopefully you can give our listeners tonight, we're going to really separate the word mother, you know, from just being a woman who bears a child, and also, and how this person becomes distinctly just a true mother. We all of us are born from you know, different mothers in different cultures, races. We have different backgrounds, religions, and we all have had different expectations from our mothers or mother figures. There are some mothers that are very gentle, they're empathic, they're sensitive, compassionate, caring, and then there are sometimes those mothers whose expectations are becoming very difficult to handle and create emotional challenges. There are some mothers who have abandoned their children at a young age or neglected them. So there are different kinds of mothers out there that we're talking about, and different kinds of relationships. What happens to these women who become different kinds of mothers? How come some people end up with having supportive, able, and available mothers, and some end up with having mothers who are not protective, they don't appreciate their children, they're not able to attend to the needs of their children, and they become neglectful. Can you tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the difference of these women?
Oh, yes, sure. First, I would like to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and also as a mother with two children. I want to acknowledge the hard work, especially around this time, all the mothers like me. I think by now we are exhausted. But it's a pleasure to talk about this topic, because as a mom, I really think about this topic and who is really a mother. You know, obviously, according to what you said, motherhood is not being born by a child. That means when we are bearing a child and giving birth to a child, it doesn't mean that person is immediately going to turn into a very attuned, caring, and loving mother. That's why some of the mothers, they abandon their children. That's why some of the mothers, they really don't act mother, and they get caught up into their own problems. Obviously, reaching that balance as being a mother and reach to the place that a mother really deserves, and to respond to all the needs and love of children has to do with something else. Maybe emotionally, a woman has to be ready when they are bearing a child, and they really want to have a child, and they know why they want to have a child. You can, you know, ask lots of women, they are pregnant. I had the privilege to work with pregnant women as a midwife to deliver the babies, which was very rewarding experience for me. And also, I had the privilege actually to have my own children to give birth. But what I found out as my personal experience is when a woman becomes pregnant, rather than they step into a magnifying glory, beauty, feeling of, you know, like having another life in their bodies, some of them, they step into anxiety because they feel overwhelmed. Yes, go ahead.
Or depression, anxiety or depression, right?
Absolutely, anxiety or depression. It's because there is a fear of failure, and there is a fear of responsibility. And if the relationship has some problems and the mother wants to fit in the child into a dysfunctional relationship by having a hope, maybe this child can save the relationship. Lots of excuses. There are lots of intentions and excuses behind becoming a pregnant and becoming a mother. And if they are not highly set as a human, actually, as a need of a mother, then that's, you know, becoming a mother with the child, here you go. The mother is going to give birth to anxiety, to postpartum depression. Some of them I know is hormonal, but most of the postpartum depression is due to the pressure the person feels. And,
It's really sad that for everything we have a license, you know, to operate, but for having children, there are no requirements. You know, you can just make a child and you can just become a mother without knowing what's involved. So I think that's an issue that is not addressed enough, and it's a very tricky issue. You know, we cannot take the right of people to become mothers, but at the same time, not everybody, as you're saying, is suited to be a mother.
Yep, it's, you know, right now, thank God, considering, you know, the all this knowledge and wisdom and talks and parenting classes, lots of books are available, that people are trying to, before having children, to educate themselves. But the education they are getting is, in some parts, is lacking the actual motherhood. The actual motherhood, I remember when I had my own children as a midwife, I was working as a midwife. When I actually had my child, then I realized, oh my God, nobody told me. Not about the hard work. You know, the hard work, all the parents, all the mothers, they know the hard work. Parenting is extremely difficult for father and mother, especially these days. Mothers, they go to work, and fathers have to really share lots of their time to take care of children. We are not living in old days that mom is a home mom and the father is, you know, only the breadwinner. Both of them actually equally are in tune to help the children, to raise healthy children emotionally, for some parents spiritually and physically. But problem is they don't educate. You know, there is not enough education for a woman that when he is going to have a child, what is the motherhood? What is motherhood about? And most of the women, as soon as they are having a child, they are putting their own wish that they think is out of reach for themselves. They are putting all those hopes, all those wishes for the child, rather than considering this is another human being which has been born with totally different different perspective or perceptions about life, different needs. They want to actually, like you have a mold, they want to mold that child into that, pushing it into the mold that they like. And then they want to, you know, present it, whatever they didn't have, push it and present it to their children. And here it happens when they end up with very angry teenagers. They don't want to have anything to do with their mothers because the mothers are constantly, repeatedly, are showing them that they failure because that's, they didn't meet up with the expectations.
So I think I'm going back to what you started about the education and the learning. So the education and learning that's mostly out there, it's mostly the physical and the mechanical ways of taking care of a child. How, when to feed them, how to change them, the responsibilities that are there. However, the emotional expectations or necessities of raising a child are not usually what's talked about, or people or younger, especially the younger mothers, are aware of that, and or older mothers have the patience for it, which is really about how to be in a balanced way, taking care of this baby in compassion, with gentleness, with just being present to the need, and without having the anxiety that you were talking about, or the depressed feelings that we were talking about. Once this child is starting life from the position of being in the arms of a mother or a father who is not happy with the way that their lives are, so guess what kind of a wiring in the brain of this child is starting, and what kind of anxieties this infant is already feeling, just the way that the child is being held or is being fed or is being even looked at or smiled at. So there's many different subtle information that a new parent need to understand before deciding to have a child or actually having a child. And I think this is the biggest part that's missed in the communication or the education of early infancy of children with their parents, or how those parents are educated.
I absolutely agree with you. You know, being emotionally available for another human being, especially your own child, is when you are emotionally in a state of balance. You know who you are, you have clarity about yourself, your need, and you have acceptance, fully acceptance about yourself. How many people do you know that has reached that state? And some of the people, they found it really hard, and guess what? They are trying to complete their own, not fullness, like wholeness. They act as a half. They want to give a birth to a child. Maybe the child actually to save them, and the child make them complete, and the child works as a savior for them or a warrior. And this is the sad part, because they are actually putting all their shortcomings in the child, and by not being emotionally available, the first start, like from day one they have a child, then they can cause lots of problems for the child, as an attachment disorder and lots of problems, which these children, when they grow up to be an adult, there is so difficult, they're going to face so much difficulty in life in regard with being in relationships with other people.
So what happens really is the emotional security of that child is already breached. So I think the subject of security is the next thing that comes to my mind. If parents are not feeling secure in their own lives, or they're having troubles, or they're having difficulties coping with what their situations are before having a child or even after having a child, now imagine what would happen to the security of that child, and how the expressions of this mother or the father are going to be affecting the growth of this child. I'm sure you're familiar with John Bowlby's attachment theory, right?
Yes, yes.
And I yes. found the attachment theory so interesting and so accurate, because the infant's affectionate bonding or tie with the mother figure starts really early on. And if such bonds are not based on the child's need for safety, security, or protection, then the infant or the little baby is going to start having doubts about everything around, even about the time that they're being fed or that they're being held or they're being looked at. So the consistency of a caregiver who is usually the biological mother needs a certain sensitivity and responsibility that creates that kind of secure attachment. So it becomes so important that we pay attention to our own sense of security before we decide to have children. And once we have it, it is so important how we hold on to this idea of making the maximum amount of possibilities for security around the baby, including the father. You know, the fathers cannot be ignored. As you said, traditionally men have been providing physical strength and shelter for the mother and the children. But nowadays this is a joint effort, so they're both doing the same thing. So the responsibilities are more than before for both parents. When we understand this kind of a mindset, then we understand how important it is to allow the emotional and physical security be present for that child.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. And I just want to mention something. Usually parenting or motherhood, especially for girls, start with, when they are children, it starts with playing with dolls. And children always have been perceived as cute. Like, oh, that's so sweet, this is so cute. Like, they don't really, and then they grow up with that idea. One day they're going to have their own children as the little dolls they used to play with. the impact of being a parent, especially being a mother, it never hits a woman as soon as they give birth to a child. They appreciate the miracle of having a child right then, and then all the difficulties comes in with it. Usually, the way that motherhood has been promoted socially through media, it's the mothers that they are holding a child or a newborn or a baby, and they're extremely fresh, happy, their skin is perfect, that they look so fresh and happy, so content and calm, which is not really the picture, the real picture we see in the society. And that's why I'm so glad you have opened up this conversation and this talk, because usually nobody talks about these things to women. And they think, like even in the art therapy sessions, when I have sessions with women, which they are at the verge of getting married, the way that they put the pictures of the baby and family together to make an art is a very wishful, unrealistic way of demonstrating the family. Mm-hmm. They put pictures of very intimate and happy family, the pictures that you see in the journals and magazines that they want to really sell a product to people, and they need to put those happy affect and emotion there. I don't say there are not any happy mother out there. I'm sure there are so many happy mothers out there. I personally am so grateful that I have experienced my life to be a mother, but at the same time I acknowledge as a therapist, as a midwife, as a mother, the difficulty which is coming with it. And as you said, that cause, if a mother thinks or feels that is not prepared for having a child, should not have a child for the sake of saving marriage, for tricking a man to pregnancy and getting to get a man, or
right.
It's getting my biological clock ticking. You don't know how many times
right.
I have heard that. And, they are full of fear and insecurity, and because their biological clock is ticking and they are getting close to age 40 or 45, they want to have a child without realizing that the biological clock might be ticking, but other aspects of their maturity to become a mom is actually very, I want to put it in a...
I would say primitive.
Primitive, thank you. The primitive, and they need to know what are they putting their foot in. It's very important.
Well, I think that opens up another subject, which is really the difference between being a mother and a woman. I think, for a woman, I'm sure you can explain it much better, but from my perspective and my work with many women, I understand how difficult it becomes to be both a woman and a mother, because the mother has certain responsibilities that we are kind of talking about, some of them tonight. And also we're talking about a woman, which is a human being with needs, with desires, with a lifestyle, with whatever else that another person needs, So I think, and that's a responsibility that somehow through nature or the way that we are created is given to women, and men do not have that. So I guess we have that. It could be a privilege, or it may be something that we lack, But at the same time, there is a difference. And I guess you can talk about that a little bit more from your understanding of what is the difference between being a woman and a mother.
Yeah, it's. Thank you for putting it that way. The most important thing, especially for mothers these days, is to maintaining a balance of paying attention to what they needs as an individual, and what is their passion, and then also maintaining a balance of the role of motherhood. I personally think that. And I believe strongly, actually, believing that when you become a mother, the priority is the role of motherhood. And the reason is because of the love and the attachment the mother has to their children as well. It's not only children that have attachment. They are attached to the parents. Mother, it's just with the child, there is a sense of attachment to the child who's born with the mother. Even for the mothers who they give their children at the teen mom, which they give their children for adoption, when they come to therapy after 40 years of that state, still they talk about that child. Still they feel they are attached to it. They are emotional bonds. They are emotional connections between a woman and the child that
which is Parisa, you know how I understand this as you're talking about this? It's almost like giving a member of your body, you know, a part of your body to somebody
absolutely.
Else. Because this child is a part of the body of a woman. And to give
absolutely.
It away or to just be separate from it, it is very emotional as you're expressing it.
It is very, and it stays with the mom. Then if a woman wants to maintain a healthy balance in her life, that to have the passion and love for herself, she has to learn priority. The first role they have in life is being a mother. And after, the other things are secondary. And then is the time they are not going to feel overwhelmed. If they understand, the first job they have is being a mom. Now, if there is a woman who the first job is maintaining safety and security, they have to, you know, they don't have any help. They have to take care of the money, the income, and also they have the passion to follow. If they want to put them priority as the first job they have, and being a mom as second job, I just want to warn them. Be careful, because this is not going to take you to balance. And what happens is, this is the place that they start showing lots of emotional and lots of psychological problems. They don't know where is that coming from, but they feel overwhelmed and unhappy. Because I just want to mention this, Daniel. We as a woman, I think I don't disregard the role of the fathers, which I really praise them. The fathers these days, they deserve to be acknowledged as mothers and sometimes even more. But with the woman, we have a type of motherhood in our nature. And the woman, when they give a birth to a child, we are healing the mother inside as well. If we had some relational problem with our own mother, then by giving love to the child we have, it's like this opportunity has been provided for us twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can repair that dysfunctional relationship with the mothers we had.
But there is a problem there. You know, some women, I think they fall into a trap right there where you are right now, as you're expressing it.
Uh-huh.
Imagine that this woman who feels this attachment to the child and keeps this kind of attachment going on for a long time. In other words, is not really cutting the emotional umbilical cord, you know. Then now the child that this woman has becomes a very controlled or attached or anxious or, uncomfortable child. So what about that? Because that is the other part of it.
Yes.
Isn't that necessary? This needs to be cut?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. No, when I say we repair that relationship, I'm talking about a balanced and healthy relationship. I'm talking about a relationship which two healthy individuals are going to be the outcome of that. As you said, we don't want any burden, emotional burden, on the parent or the child. We don't want any excessive attachment. We don't want overprotection. We don't want anything which is out of balance. Maintaining the balance is huge in parenting, and that's why there are so many professionals are out there, lots of therapies, family therapies, which they are really, it's extremely helpful for parents to go to, you know, to seek help and to find out where they should cut that emotional umbilical cord. You are absolutely right.
To be honest with you, most of the problems that I witness in my practice comes from this same place, you know, which is overprotectiveness or just keep on giving too much attention and not allowing them to become a separate individual. And you see a lot of separate separation anxiety that ends up to be different forms of anxiety and panic attacks and many, many, many different ways of showing this anxious way of being. And I think a lot of that stems from not knowing where to stop and become a separate person, an individual, and allow that child to individuate.
I agree. This especially happens with parents, with the mothers, which they have anxiety. And as soon as the anxiety and fear kicks in, the mother becomes overprotective and controlling.
And the guilt. I think you talked about guilt earlier when we were talking about this. So say a little bit about that guilt feeling also. That's interesting.
Yeah, the guilt feeling comes from when a mother has an excuse to have a child. And the excuse beside that, I'm ready as a human being, as a woman, to be a child and take all the responsibility and take care of the child and myself. The woman, due to some excuses of saving the marriage, the biological clock, and everything that is not really good reasons for becoming a mother, they have a baby. As soon as the child is born, then the mother starts feeling anxious and feeling that is not capable of fulfilling what she's supposed to do, or she categorizes herself as a good mother. They become anxious, and the anxiety and fear brings a lot of guilt to that person, to the mother, that why did I give birth to this child, and why did I put this child or my child in this position? That guilt, it's absolute. The mother becomes, because of the anxiety, has to work extremely harder on maintaining her roles as a mother. And what happens unconsciously, the mother passes the guilt to the child, becomes
That's
controlling
right.
and manipulative. And do you know how they do it, especially in our culture? They say to their children, for example, because of you, I did live with your father, even though your father was, you know, wasn't a really good man. Or because
right.
of you, I had to move from this country to another country, and putting so much guilt
on
the child.
You didn't go to work at home.
Oh, absolutely. Because of you, I didn't pursue my passion.
Right.
I was really good at piano or singing. I didn't do it because of you. And, you know, they do it in a very subtle and very loving way. And they think they are showing how devoted mother they are without knowing that they are actually putting the guilt on a child, and the child doesn't realize that somebody, and the child, when they grow up, they are trapped into guilt, they are trapped into shame, they don't feel perfect, they become perfectionists in order to fulfill some of the mother's desires because they feel obligated. All of this pressure is on children just because some subtle, nice comment that the mother, while they are taking care of their children, they put it out there just to show how devoted I am, what a good mother I am. This is actually extremely serious.
Yes, so let's go to a little bit of a music so we can take a short break, and we'll
sure.
be back in a minute.
Troubles come and my heart burdens me, and I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me and on mountains, you raise me up to walk on stormy sea. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Well, you're listening to A Moment with Self, and I'm Dr. Daniel Sadiq speaking with Parisa Amin Mostofian on the subject of what a mother wants. And We are continuing with the question about the role of the mother as the nurturing person. You know, I think the word nurturing versus nature, it becomes very important in the role of the mother. You know, we call our planet Earth Mother Earth. So there are a lot of similarities between the role of the planet that we live in and how we are born and how we are surviving and how we are pursuing life on this planet Earth, and similarities with how a child is born through the evolution of the sperm and the ovum getting together and going through 9 months of just completion and coming out as a child, and then this completion continues all throughout the life. So the same way that we are protected by the laws of nature and you know, our Earth, there are certain laws that we got to understand and adhere to in parenting and motherhood. And I think one of the very important ones is nurturance, which stands out as the most basic element for growth. Any plant that grows needs to be seeded in a place that gets enough sun, gets enough water, nutrients, and you know, safety. So I really want to take this part of our conversation towards the role of the mother as being the nurturing person who provides this early care for the child. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's the first thing. It's very essential. When a baby is born, as you know, for until first year of their birth, the baby cannot distinguish herself or himself from the caregiver. They think the caregiver is part of them, part of their body, the caregiver is one with them. Gradually, they realize that the caregiver is not part of them. And imagine there is a part which is not responsive to you. You have a part of your body that's supposed to feed you. For example, your hands doesn't feed you. And the heart that's supposed to bring warmth for you in earlier stages, and that energy, human body energy, is not provided to you. Then the child becomes ill. It's like a person who becomes cold. The body becomes cold. It has huge impact. It's not like the child recognizes that this mother is a woman that's supposed to feed him. It's like a human which needs food and has been deprived from food. It's very
that
deeper
is very
than, you know.
Way of saying it. Go ahead. Yes, I like the way that you're explaining it. So this child is actually one with the mother or the father or the caregiver. And to become separate, it takes time, and it usually takes at least the first 2 years to really make that separation. How about these first 2 years? What can you recommend to mothers or mothers-to-be that they need to focus on in these first 2 years?
Yep, these first 2 years is it's very important for the mother to be available emotionally and physically. And by physically means when the child is crying and has a need, the mother goes to help the child to see what are the needs, to pick the child up or to be present, to pat the child. Anyways, using parenting techniques in order to calm the child down. Rather than old days, I remember I was much younger. I don't remember, but what I've heard that there was an old fashion of let the child cry until the child gets tired and goes back to sleep,
right.
Which I totally agree with that, because if the child has a need of a touch, the touch has to be provided. If the child has a need of, you know, the hug has to be provided. But also there is a limit to it, which the mother doesn't run to pick up the child all the time in order, because the mother feels anxious and the mother can't hear the crying. You know, there should be a huge balance. But my take of, you know, everything I've learned and gone through is to be available emotionally and physically for the child for first 2 years.
So the availability is one of the main elements of creating that security, because if that availability is not, if it's not there, the sense of this world being a scary place and unfair place and a hard place and, you know, unprotective place starts to be built in the child's image or psyche. And that's where a lot of difficulty starts. So the fact of insecurity really starts within this very early stages of development, and it becomes so important that we pay attention to providing that sense of availability and security all along. So when this emotional security is broken, how can we just repair that? I mean, if we realize that we have not done enough or we have not been available, now are there other chances that we can remedy that?
Absolutely. You know, the good news is the minute the parent realize that they've gone, you know, that attachment has been breached, that, you know, the emotional ability hasn't been provided, it can be repaired. It is repairable by paying attention, taking and seeking help from professionals, and finding a way to reach out to the child and offer their love, their support, and their nurturance. It takes a little time, but they have to be patient and they have to learn how to reach out and how to repair it.
One of the key words that comes to my mind and is usually not used as often is acknowledgement. I think the element of acknowledgement is something that every parent should know about and learn about, because through acknowledging the child's feelings and not making it right or wrong, just being present to those feelings, the repair could be made. Once a child feels understood, feels accepted and affirmed, then they start repairing those wounds themselves, because now they know that the part of them, as you said, inside of them that they had rejected, or they had felt that it was rejective of them and not helping them, now that part has accepted, you know, the need. So once that happens, the repair becomes much easier. And I, in my work in psychotherapy, what happens between me and my patient is pretty much taking the role of that parent, the mother or father, and repair that by just acknowledging the patient, by just, you know, letting them know that it's okay how they feel. It's not just in their head. It's something that has happened to them, and it has hurt them, and they have been wounded. And now, based upon that acceptance, now they have a way to go and rebuild the relationships. And often enough, you and I both see that how this affirmation and acknowledgement of a person's feeling grows to be a new person who is more secure and safe and able to cope with problems and grow. What do you say? Let me bring somebody online. Okay. Parisa, I think we lost you. So are you back online?
Yes, I am back. Yes.
Because if you're not there, I thought we could get a different line. So did you hear what I was saying?
No, I missed the last minute.
That's, you know, I was just saying that how important it is to acknowledge. You know, that I was talking about the acknowledgement and how it's important to acknowledge children or adults, and how we do that in psychotherapy by acknowledging the feelings of a person, and that's where the repair can be done. Let me bring you up to the next part of the conversation that I was hoping we can make some clarity. And it is about not just motherhood, not womanhood. It's about femininity versus masculinity and how that femininity could be an attribute of mothering, which not necessarily is particular to a woman, and a man could have that femininity also. Since, as you know and I know, and I hope that everybody knows, that every person needs to have a balance between the feminine side and the masculine side, and we all have both elements of, the two genders. And if we are accepting that feminine part in a man or the masculine part in a woman, now this person becomes more balanced and able to bring a similar kind of feeling to a child. So let's talk about that a little bit and understand how socially we define femininity and how biologically we define it and how these two can become one or not.
Oh, I absolutely. You know, about the femininity and masculinity, that we have male and female side as humans. You are absolutely right. This both side is in within all of us, and from true ancient and history, wisdom and knowledge, this has been proven that a man has a female side and a woman has a male side. But what happens that we lose the contact as a woman from to our masculine side or as a man to our feminine side is through the social roles. And we take the social role. For example, a man since childhood, they dictate to a boy that boys, they don't cry, you have to be tough, you have to suppress lots of the emotions or expressing of emotions or acknowledging your emotions, which are the main key to have the sensitivity and softness and empathy and compassion to other person. What happens, social roles and cultures, they numb people. One side becomes numb. Or for example, when it gets to a woman and a girl, since childhood, the girl always is being pampered by parents, and they treat the girl that somebody has to take care of the girl because it's a little girl, because the body, you know, can't handle so many things. And then the woman learns that to have to be a receiver rather than to take action and to be a giver. The female side is the intuitive side, a receiver side. The masculine side is a doer job and the more active and the giver. When a person comes to this balance as a man, then that man totally can fulfill the role.
You got cut off, I guess. Parisa, okay. I think your telephone is not functioning well and you're getting cut off.
Can you hear me now?
You're getting cut off, so it comes and goes. So, yes, you're talking about the I let you go and change the phone. Meanwhile, okay. I'm going to continue where you were with the differences in, the masculine and feminine side. However, what I wanted to mention is that there are certain attributes that we give them to women and mother particularly. However, let's notice that how if we have these in a man, how great and how beautiful it would be. Gentleness, does it matter if you are a man or a woman to be gentle? Having empathy. Empathy, again, it's not necessarily a masculine or feminine attribute. However, we usually find women having more empathy. Sensitivity, another one. Being caring, having compassion, being tolerant. Again, we talked about nurturance, helpfulness, altruism. These are all attributes that are usually given to mothers, and definitely, yes, a good mother has all of these attributes. However, if we have these attributes in a man, that man can definitely act as a mother and be as good of a mother to a child. So the gender of the mother is not as important. It's really the act and the understanding of what a mother needs to do. Are you back online, Parisa?
Yes. Is this better?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you. So do you agree with these attributes that they very universal and they do not require a gender?
I agree. The attributes you just named it, such as empathy, being sensitive and being caring and compassionate, all of the attributes you just mentioned, doesn't matter if what gender the person is. It's all matters that what if the person is capable of doing it and showing it. I don't know if I've got cut off when I was mentioning the culture and social roles that they assign to a gender. The social roles is when it's assigned that men, they have this kind of like a fatherhood or parenting, if it's a male is taking care of the child, has to be acting this way, or
has
a man.
Has to be controlling, or has to be, you know, certain rigidity that we assign to
Absolutely.
A man relationship with a child.
Yep, and the interesting thing is, fathers, they think children, they have to be scared of them in order to be able to teach them something. And they use more control and power in order. It's at least in my culture that I have been familiar with. And they think if they are compassionate and soft to their children, the child might take advantage of them.
Right.
Or take advantage of the situation of the life. And they think if I'm a good father, I have to be more rigid. I have to be angry. Or I have to express more anger or, you know, rigidity. But for the mom, always the role of if the child, you know, falls down or is going through the pain, runs to the mother. This is the role they have taken. And it's very important, as you said, that any humanistic quality which is in relation to be sensitive toward another human beings, especially our children, to be evolved, to be developed fully, it doesn't matter which gender. And the father definitely can do a better job in more than other moms.
So I guess as a community, as a society, it is each individual's responsibility to pay attention to the ways that security of children can be broken. And I think that attention comes first to anybody who is involved in the mothering. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. Whoever who's taking care of a child needs to have certain support and certain attention, because with today's socioeconomical problems, with the stresses, with the way that the devaluation of humanity for women, particularly womanizing, you know, marketing strategies or degrading and objectification of women, these are issues that down the road haunt the children of these women, and they affect our societies and cultures in a bigger picture. So by looking around ourselves and trying to support and be a hand to those who can use this support and this help, I believe we can make a much better future for many children, because that insecurity ends up to be depression, anxiety, obsession, frustration, anger. And by having a childhood that has less trauma, we can definitely make a better future for our communities and societies. So the reason that we had this talk tonight, in my opinion, mostly is to raise the sensitivity of helping, giving a hand to those people around us who are parents, and then they are struggling with this. We see so many people who come through divorces, broken families, lack of social support, abuses, you know, going through traumatic events. And if we realize and we see that there are people, and we are feeling that we have those attributes of a good parent, and we have been good parents, we can come to support these people. And I really want to invite all of our listeners to pay attention to the children, because the children are the future of us, and how by providing safety and security at early ages, we can change our communities and our societies. Do you agree with me, Parisa?
Yes, I agree, and I hope for that society to happen.
Good. Thank you so much for being
you.
With me tonight and bringing your information, and I enjoy talking to you every time that you are with me. Hopefully we can talk again soon, and we're going to say goodbye. We go to a music, and hopefully we'll talk to you again in another program.
Sure. Thank you so much. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Happy
thank
Mother's
you.
Day to all the mothers and caregivers. Happy Mother's
Wonderful.
Day.
Wonderful. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.